Well, welcome back. You're here again. Talking Comics. This is episode 111. Wow. You were here on episode 49.
Wow.
So it's been about 62 episodes ago.
That's crazy to me.
Right? It wasn't that long ago, it seems like.
Jeez, you do it like every week.
We've been cranking them out. So, two a week at least. So we did a little bit there. It may have been around when you were on. We were doing three a week there to like catch up and try to get on a schedule.
Wow.
And so now I'm doing two a week, and that's like my limit at the moment. I might add a third one now. I don't have a job, day job anymore. So I got kind of laid off.
Oof, I'm sorry to hear that.
Last week. So
yeah, it's been a rough time economically for a lot of people. The 1,000 Marvel artists got laid off. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, what help? Right? What hope do I have? Yeah. Well, they're laying off Marvel artists.
Yeesh.
Which I'm not an artist, but.
Yeah, rough time.
I did get my book out, which is awesome. I know, I'm pretty sure you've seen it, but you
that's
know,
right.
It's out. My comic's out. So that's been awesome. What's new in your world since the last time you were on?
Lots of good stuff. We're getting married in June, which is the big news. So it's a little over a month away.
Sweet.
We've been doing dance classes, and we hired a wedding planner to help us because it was getting a little too stressful to do on our own with work and school and the Kickstarters, like just take a little bit off our plate. So,
right.
But yeah, no, we're doing good. All good things. Let's see. So we had Phantasmagoria issue 2, in April, I want to say, on Kickstarter. That got funded, which was great. My little D&D horror story is in there.
Awesome.
Drunk Bomb number 3 is on Kickstarter now. Enchanted Circus of Wonder number 3 is coming this summer to Kickstarter. There's just tons of... This is a big year. I'm doing my first out-of-state convention.
You're cranking them out.
This weekend. I'm going to Tennessee.
Ooh, where at?
The Columbia Toy and Comic Expo in Tennessee.
Ooh, that's in Knoxville, right?
It's like, yeah, south of that, yeah.
Or Chattanooga, maybe.
And then we're going somewhere. To Pigeon Forge, go to Dollywood on the way back, spend the night there.
Heck yeah.
We got like 2 weeks off.
Go to the Smoky Mountain Knife Store.
Yep.
There in Pigeon Forge. Gatlinburg, yeah, I spent a lot of time there. It's a pretty cool
yeah,
place.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's only about 5 hours for me. So. Yeah, it's a fun place. Every time we go west, you know, on I-40 West, we stop there because of the knife store. My oldest daughter loves that store. So we stop in there. It's a cool store, too. It's got a lot of cool stuff than just knives, right? Got, like, everything. It's a fun place to go.
Are you going to Tidewater Comic-Con the following weekend in Virginia Beach?
No. In Virginia Beach? What day is that?
Not this weekend, but next weekend. So I think the 15th, 16th, if I'm getting the dates right.
Yeah, that'd be the 15th. I don't know, but I could. That's in Virginia Beach. You going to be there?
Yeah, I'm tabling. That was actually a fun fact. That was my first comic convention ever. When I was, it was 2017. So I would have been 23. I was just like, for whatever reason at the time, I thought it was too nerdy for me. Like, I was just like, you know, I'm not going to like it. This is for diehard fan. And then just one day I just woke up and I was like, what am I talking about? I'm a diehard comic fan. Like, why am I not going to this? I just kind of got over my awkward phase there and just went and had a great time. I saw Neil Adams and Chris Claremont. It was just, it was a life-changing experience, honestly. Like, I was telling Chris Claremont about my comic. I was about Drunk Mom that I just started writing at the time. And he's like, okay, cool. Like, just word of advice, you know, like, I get thousands of people every day that tell me they're making comics. So, I mean, you got to just think statistically, you know, there's got to be, out of the 1,000 people that tell me they're going to make a comic, maybe 100 start writing it. Maybe 10 start drawing it, and then maybe one actually finishes it. And I was just like, whoa. And like, to me, that didn't seem like a burn or like a, you know, hey, here's a dig at your work ethic. It felt like a challenge, you know. It felt like he was trying to light a fire under my ass a little bit. say, hey, get in gear. Yeah. Not everybody actually finishes. If you say you're going to do it, you got to do it. And that's essentially how I took it. And I mean, see,
that's great motivation.
Yeah, it was a reality check, I think, about him challenging me. And like all the great comic writers that I've met say pretty much the exact same thing. When I met Sam Humphries at Awesome Con, he was just like, hey, when could I buy your comic? You know, like just, you know, basically challenging me to finish it. And it's a good step in the process of like, you know, hey, I'm an aspiring comic creator. Cool. What are you doing about that? You know, what's your plan to finish? It's such a fun feedback loop to be able to inspire people that I'm sure, you know, they had, you know, Stan or whoever they looked up to at the time, maybe do the same thing for them.
It's definitely an accomplishment and it's a major project. Like, I mean, this was not a one day thing,
no.
You know, this was hundreds of hours of work of, you know, between writing, which I just wrote it, hired an artist, right? But, you know, working with the artist and getting the pages back and putting it together. And then we actually, one of the cool things that we did is my daughter and I went to the print shop because I have a friend that owns a print shop. And he let us come in and like we spent a whole day just like playing with paper, touching it, you know, picking out I have a stack over here, like, you know, that thick of paper. And we got to like hit the print button. We got to, you know, feed it through the machines, you know, the cutters, like everything. And I got to run the final step where it saddle stitched it, folded it, trimmed it and all that. I mean, it was just a great experience. And so we took it a little bit further because we actually made our comic physically too. That was pretty cool. But it's the same thing goes with like the podcast. Like there's similar, you know, 100 people will start a podcast. I think that's crazy. Like the average podcast doesn't get past episode like 10, which is crazy. And I'm at this is 111.
Yeah, so. It just takes, you know, perseverance and consistency and like it's got to be like your passion, right? Like you got to feel like actually driven to do it,
right.
And it's something you actually genuinely want to do. And that's kind of also like, you know, whenever you're on like comic podcasts, they always ask like, what advice do you have? And mine's just like, look, like if you don't feel like inspired by what you want to write, like don't just sit down and go, okay, well, I want to make a comic book. What do I want to write? Like you kind of have to like find your voice and like find something that you want to say that's like worthwhile, like worth your time, frankly, right? That you've been working on it, in order to actually get you through that hump of the work ethic to actually get over that hill. That's
right.
What drives me is like the stories and the voice that I want to put in the characters or in the story, you know, gets me through the labor of, you know, hey, this is something I really want to have out in the world. Hopefully somebody likes it and resonates with it and responds to it. And, you know, that's what keeps me going every day. It's just saying something that means something to me and hopefully something means something to someone else, you know?
100%. So tell us about the latest one. This is Drunk Mom 3,
right? Yeah, Drunk Mom 3. And
tell us about
it. So in issues 1 and 2, you see Monica Laney, who's a recovering alcoholic. She's sober. She's 5 years sober. And she works at a bank. She's a single mom. She's got her son, Bobby. She has an intern, Craig. She gets into this like chance encounter with some muggers. And just kind of interrupts that situation and then gets a reality check almost instantly. You know, she feels pretty good about herself and then walks away and says, wait a second, hold on. If there's a security camera and somebody sees me, you know, I didn't like defend myself. I went and, you know, went out of my way. I wasn't involved. And then just, you know, assaulted these people that were doing this crime. It helped the bystander. Sure. Like, obviously there's like a moral justification for it, but maybe not a legal one. And so she's like, well, if I go to jail, like this is really bad. My, you know, I'll lose custody of my kid, you know, worse, my ex-husband will get to my kid. That's just, man, like she's like really stressed out about this basically right after it happens. And then she confides in her intern, Craig, and say, oh my gosh, I'm freaking out. This thing just happened. You know, what should I do? And he's just like, oh my gosh, like you're a crime fighter, like you're a vigilante. That's awesome. That's so cool. And she's like, okay, well, you're not listening. Like, this is not cool. This is actually very not cool. And he just kind of gets carried away with it, makes a costume, makes her a costume. And she's like, dude, like, you need to let this joke die. It's not happening. And he's like, please, like, I made the costume, like, try it on. You gotta let me be your sidekick. And she's like, I'm not a hero. I don't need a sidekick. And so, like, she gets, like, in over her head very quickly, almost begrudgingly, reluctantly doing this hero work with Craig. He's way into it. He makes an Iron Man suit by issue 2. You know, he's flying around with a, you know, nuclear reactor on his pack and shooting the bad guys, you know, running into motels, grabbing sleazeballs that are in there, you know, preying on girls and stuff. So, like, he's just he's barreling into the superhero thing a lot quicker than she is. When we leave her in issue 2, she's still, like, waffling, like, do I really want to do this, right? Is this compatible with my life? And then issue 3 picks up. Craig has found her. He has a new costume. He has the Iron Man suit. She says, where do you get this? Who made this for you? And so he takes her to show her two new characters, Dr. Trad Fisher and Sarah Faraday, who work at LEH Labs. And they've created not only Craig's new flying nuclear-powered suit, but they have a new suit for Monica as well. She will now be the inducer, and she has this cool electric gun and these goggles and these rubber gloves and some awesome, like, Doc Martin boots. So, like, she's like, kind of swept up in it in a little for a little bit, you know, I think the excitement of it all. But they find themselves with a really challenging battle that, you know, again, is kind of a reality check. It's not just, you know, two, you know, street level thugs. It's kind of your more professional mercenary villain types. Turbo Jenny is a speedster. She's got these super speed boots. She's kind of a thief. Break in, get the thing, break out real quick. And then Spit Hot Fire, who's this? He's in the God's Orphans gang that they're starting to discover. But he has not only like a mixtape that he's constantly peddling to people under his rap name Spit Hot Fire, but also he spits literal hot fire. He's a fire breather, and so he's got a can of gas. He's got a microphone shaped lighter, and he's just lighting up, you know, streams of flames at the heroes. And it's unlike anything they've faced before. It's definitely the most exciting issue yet, with the new characters, the new costumes, and the big epic fight scene that you get to see on the cover there, the cover C. Yeah, it's one that I've been excited. I wrote it in 2017. I've been excited to make it ever since. So wow. I'm really glad to be bringing it to life with everybody.
How's the Kickstarter
going? It's
going
great. We have like 8 or 9 days left, 8 days, and we have less than $1,000 to go. It's like 800 something to go. Okay. So we'll definitely hit our goal.
Go back it.
Yeah,
now.
Notably,
I know I backed it.
Notably, if people are into original art, like if you like the actual, you know, piece of paper that both Manuel and I did like the covers on with the pencils and the inks, those are still available on the Kickstarter. They're like Sweet. The final tiers at the bottom. If anybody collects those, there's one of one, right? So once somebody claims the piece, it's gone. But yeah, those are available. I think all of the ads are gone. And
yeah, you only had two of them, right?
That's right.
And I snagged one of them. I have to say, I'm sure it'd be a thing, because we did the same thing in the back cover. You know, we put an ad. You actually are in here. I don't know if you can tell.
Right there we go. Corner,
you've made the ad. Yes. So I have the same ad for, you know, a lot of people that we've interviewed, right? And it's like on our header image on YouTube and Facebook and, you know, all wherever you can put a header image. It's pretty much the same thing. And then we make smaller size, like postcard size of this that we hand out to everybody.
That's awesome.
I'm almost out of these. Are our older ones, but the but it's pretty basically a copy of that one. And we, I mean, I've printed probably 500 and we've handed them all out. I'm out. I ran out Saturday of free wow. comic book day. So that was crazy. So I had to get more of those for my next show. Cause currently my next show is, we're going back to Michigan, for Cherry City okay. Con in Traverse City, Michigan on Memorial Day nice. Weekend. So, and then going to Terrificon in Connecticut, which I'm really excited about. I mean, I'm excited about all of them, but the cool one about Terrificon is my artist, Mike Algier from Dork Arts Studios, who did the artwork for the interior and a couple of the covers. So we're tabling together. So that's going to be cool. Really cool.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited about that, to be able to meet him in person finally, because we've only been on the podcast a couple times and, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Instagram messages back and forth. which is really cool, because he's like, even today he sent me, you know, his latest page of his comic he's working on now, one of his own, which is awesome. So it's cool. I get to be like a little mini editor, you know, because he sends me the pages and I get to, you know, help him proofread it and stuff. So that's been a really cool experience too, you know, that he's kept doing that. Even it's not my book anymore, yeah. right, that he's working on, it's just his own. But we got along so well, he, you know, keep sending it to me, which is amazing.
Oh, my fiance heard of me talking about the original art and then came and brought it to me.
So ooh, this is heck
the
yeah.
cover B by Manuel Carmona. And then
that's so cool.
Readers of my comics will know him from The Avengers Theory, issues 1 and 2. He did the yeah. first story for that one, Birth of a Legend. And then this one I worked on in 2017. When I was writing the book. So there's some of the ooh. Oldest pencils and inks that I'm actually ending up using in the story at all. This was done 9 years ago.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so,
that's really
yeah,
cool.
Like I was deciding whether to kind of, you know, my art has evolved in 9 years, you know, whether to hit it with another, you know, iteration, or like to respect the dream of that, you know, post Tidewater version of myself that was, you know, very, very, you know, motivated and very inspired, to even start to draw while I was still writing it. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm just going to color it and leave it the way it is, so that, you know, there's this cool through line between, you know, the whole process of writing the scripts and starting to draw like my first covers ever and the actual finished product.
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I'm excited to.
And getting original art is really cool. Like, you can barely see it, but that sketch there that's hanging behind me, that's the original sketch that my artist did for the cover, the A cover, and he mailed it to me as like a gift for the book. And I was like, that's just having yeah. the original sketch. Really
yeah,
cool.
I was not expecting. So like, I'm a big comic collector, and like, I used to read the like Marvel Essentials, right, the trades. And so like, mm-hmm. yeah, I did get in.
Oh, I got a bunch of those behind yeah, me. Yeah, the Essentials and, you know, the Omnibuses.
Which ones
Epic
which ones do you have of the Essentials?
So I'm on this journey to read every Thor. So I started, I read one of these mini Masterwork yeah. books. It was the original Thor. It was like Journey into Mystery 83 to 100. And that was like right around Christmas time. And so January 1st, I decided, well, I think I decided a couple days before, I'm going to read one Thor wow. a day, starting with 101 on the 1st. And just one a day before I go to bed, I read one Thor comic. So I read 222 last night, I think it was. So it was yeah, kind of, might have been 23.
You get into the Walt Simonson era soon. Yeah.
Almost. That's like 330, yeah. 8, 6, somewhere around there.
It for the end of the year.
So I got another 110 yeah. days
cool.
before yeah. the end of the year. Right. So three more wow. months. Four more months.
That's
I guess.
Exciting.
We're out of the Stan Lee era of his writing. Now I'm on Jerry Conway's writing. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it. And then I snuck in another one last night, because we went to a comic book show yesterday, just a local one-day all comic books. And I found a Trial of Thor one shot. So yeah. I read that last night too. It was really good.
It must be really interesting to reflect on the Jerry Conway stuff right now.
Yeah. Right. Especially he passed away last week. That was so sad. Just as I was getting into it, right? It's crazy. But I am looking forward to those Walt Simonson, the Beta Ray Bill and all that. I got a bunch of them in single issue, but I've been just reading. I love those epic collection yeah. books you can get.
Those were how I started reading. And like I did Thor, Avengers, Defenders, Silver Surfer. What else? Ghost Rider, like just some like Spider-Man, like ones that like still to this day are like some of my earliest comic memories. And like when I started to read comics as an adult, like I would go in every week and get the floppies. But you know, right. I still did have a soft spot for the trades, I think, just 'cause that's how I grew up reading them. And so like I never even like I barely got into like the comic collecting mark. Like obviously my fiance would say otherwise that I'm very much into the floppies. But like I don't have a whole bunch of yeah. I don't have a whole bunch of top loaders. I don't have a bunch of slabs. Right, I have four slabs. I have the Galactus trilogy and Silver Surfer number one signed by Stan Lee, and that's it. That's my like you know Surfer Silver.
That's the only slab yeah. I own right there. Is that and the so first Thor title
original
right?
art was never really in my my budget, and then also like my interest. Right. Like obviously I have like the artist edition of like Silver Surfer by John Buscema. And like I love seeing that stuff. I was never really a collector of that stuff until my first piece of original art was from Evandra's Theory by Manuel. He said, "Hey, I did this all, you know, traditionally. Do you want a piece of your first comic?" And I'm like, "This means more to me than I ever could have imagined." Like I had no idea
right.
how.
I had no idea. Like I put a video. Like I knew when I got that box in the mail. He told me, he didn't tell me what he was sending, but he's like, "I'm sending you a package. Just let me know when you get it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Okay." So it showed up and it was, you know, 11 by 17 ish, you know, size and big, thick envelope thing. And I was like, and it was like a Monday it came. And I try to hold all my packages till Thursday because that's when my daughter and I record our weekly yeah. show. So I like to open everything up on the show. And I knew I couldn't wait till Thursday to open it. So I was like, I told my daughter, I was like, "Come in here." So we came in the office and I just opened up Riverside, hit record and was like, "Let's just open it now. We'll add it to the episode later." And yeah, I opened it up and like, I almost cried. Like it was because he wrote a nice letter to me as well. Right. And it was really cool. So I put the letters actually on the back side of the yeah. drawing in the frame, but so I immediately framed it and hung it up on the wall because it was so cool to own a piece of your own yeah. thing, right? It's like, as not being an artist, I guess, like you don't do much artwork, so like, right?
This is one of the only pieces of original art that I even have. Like, okay. I started to do the layouts was the first, like, I was basically writing it as I was doing the layouts. That's very much like a cartoonist okay. workflow, you know, doing, you know, how do I want this panel this page layout to look as I'm writing the story. And that was again, back in 2017, 2018. I had since transitioned once I felt comfortable writing a full script, like for an artist, essentially, even though I intended to be the artist for all of it. And then now I've since right. started to work with other artists, but yeah, those first five, six issues are just in a sketchbook. And then once I started to put pen to paper, for issue one in 2020, like immediately it was like, wow, this was like inking was such a steep learning curve that I knew that I didn't have the time to like actually build those skills up before I wanted to get the comic out. I said, okay, well, I need to go digitally right now if I'm going to ever make this comic and make true right. to my Chris Claremont pledge, I'm going to have to go digital. And yeah, right. I'm so much more prolific now with a fully digital workflow. Like even if I'm able to use those layouts for my sketchbook, I'm still redoing them in digital pencils.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, there's nothing better than seeing your own pages come back fully, something you created, right? I've been told, well, like I said, you guys all inspired me. Like, all the interviews I was doing, I was getting jealous, yeah. You know, like you guys tell me, it's so cool to get pages back. I'm like, really? I'd love to experience that.
And then it's amazing.
And it's been amazing. And now I have my own book and did 7 different covers, which was crazy. But, you know, whatever. It was fun. And I've got all the stuff. I think I wait on one more little thing, but I can start fulfilling my Kickstarter, which is awesome. So I'll have that wrapped up in the next few days.
The first 2 issues, I did 3 variant covers. So I did covers A and C, and then I had a variant cover for cover B. So Vince White and Brian Lacey. From issue 3 on, I'm doing 4 covers and having 2 variant artists on each one. And then we did a poll for which variant cover people wanted on the shirt. I also like to put the variant cover art on a t-shirt and sell those. And since we had 2 covers and people, there was a winner, but like there was also not a very clear winner. It was very close. And so you know what? I'm just going to do both covers on both shirts. So there's 2 shirts to choose from. They're available as an add-on at like $25 to any tier. So, yeah, it was really cool to even like, you know, see, you know, get your shirts back of the art that people did for you as a variant cover. Like, that's just a fun experience.
Yeah, as a huge Thor fan, I basically did the same thing halfway through the Kickstarter. I made 2 t-shirts because that cover right there is a, it's like a facsimile of the Journey of Mystery 83, the first appearance of Thor. So Colin Hawkins, I don't know if you know him from Nuff Said Books, he just sent me a piece of fan art of, he drew our mascot, you know, Panel Pete, he drew it as Thor. And I was like, that's amazing, you're going to finish that. Like, turn it into a cover. So that's how we ended up with that cover. So of course I had to made a shirt, because I don't own a Thor shirt. So I had to make my own. I made the Mighty Pete shirt.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome. So I wear that all the time. And then the last one, the last cover, I'm going to have a copy here I can show you. My desk is a mess. Yeah, I need to clean my desk. That's on my list now that I don't have a job. This is my job now. So this cover, Mike Algier from Door Cards Comics, my artist. So he turned Annika and I into superheroes.
That's cool.
So as an alternate cover, he said it's the Adventures of Braha and Annika, because that's like our nicknames. And then Panel Pete's at the bottom holding his title going, hey, it's my comic, not yours. So I used these and I turned them into a t-shirt for us too. So those were really cool designs. And then it got me thinking the other day, and I wish I would have had thought about it earlier so I could have had it today, because, you know, today's, you know, May the 4th, so happy Star Wars Day. I need Panel Pete as like a Jedi. Version of that. So, but we didn't make it for today, so that's okay. So the Kickstarter's another week left?
Yeah,
awesome. So go now, back the Kickstarter.
There's some awesome tiers where, like, if you haven't read Drunk Mom yet, we catch you up digitally with a couple bucks off, right? Like, we want to welcome new readers and not have it be, oh, you're paying, you know, retail times 3 to catch up. Like, you know, we want to, you know, lower the barrier to entry for you and give you a bit of a discount just for being a new reader. So,
Well, I appreciate you doing that for me too. I know it wasn't really the option, but I did a catch up advertising tier. So I appreciate
that. The economy is just such a, you know, big topic right now. Like, previous issues, we did the variant cover at like an upsell. And I was just I can't do that to people this time. Like, it's just not like if I'm being, you know, pragmatic and honest, you know, my audience is not going to have, you know, even just a couple extra bucks to pitch in for a variant cover. So they're all the same price. They're all $12 for the covers A, B, C, and D. So whether you want the, you know, the one that I ended up coloring for myself, the concept art, Lisa Nguyen with the fire tornado, or the one with the big Iron Man helmet, those are all the same price.
Yeah. All 12? Okay. Yeah, I kind of split mine up a little bit. like, instead of doing all like $10 or $12 a piece, I made the first couple like seven, and then I have like 12, 10 to, I have like $7 to $15 for the covers. So you can get in it a really cheap way, or $5 digitally, right? And then like 15 for like the exclusive covers.
I've got,
and I thought it was cool because I did like a 1 in 10 and a 1 in 20, but
yeah.
Just fun stuff. And then we did stickers and all kinds of stuff. The amount of stuff, like you're going through the same thing with just the universe just never, you know, never ends expanding, yeah. Right? So my artist, you know, Mike and I were talking all the time, like all these other crazy ideas of different characters that were in the first book and doing off stories. And, you know, the lunch lady's been pretty popular. So we made it a lunch lady sticker, you know, as like the first unlock on the Kickstarter. So that was really cool. It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like just doing, playing in these sandboxes is so much totally. Fun.
Yeah. Like, you know? we have, as I was coming up with the pricing and stuff for issue three, I started thinking about issue four, and I have two awesome variant covers. And one of them, like, it's almost too good. Like, it's like, not only like, can I not just throw the logo on that and have it look normal? Like, it's not a normal cut. It's so professional and so beautiful that like, I have to do like a foil or something. Like I really right. have to like let the artwork shine. Probably do like a virgin holo foil.
A virgin yeah. foil or like, something. That's the only thing we didn't do. We didn't do a foil. We were thought about it. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. That'll
look good as a foil.
Yeah. Like not to spoil anything, but there's a new character in issue four, gets featured on the cover, and I'll leave it at that, but he's super cool. He's one of my favorite characters. He's a villain in this portion, but he's really kind of an anti-hero, like hired gun type guy. So,
well, I'm excited about this, the Kickstarter. You know, I backed it right away. Luckily I did, because those two things yep. went quick. But go check out the Kickstarter. I've got upgraded fun questions. If you remember the last Absolutely. Time I asked you some fun questions, I've upgraded them for return okay. guests. So this is only like the second time I've been able to use okay. these. So this is really cool. So we'll go through those and see what happens. But first one is, since the last time you were on the show, what comic has stuck out the most to you? Like recent?
Stuck out the most. Let's see. Obviously, like the Absolute Batman stuff is great, but the annual was one of my favorites. But I read, I want to say, Immortal Coil by Gerald von Stoddard. Was just absolutely breathtaking. Like, he's one of the you know, up and coming indie comic superstar artists that, you know, will 100% be snatched up by one of the big two eventually, but yeah, he's absolutely crushing it in the indie game right now. And I got to review two of his comics. The art for that, it's basically a, I don't want to give it away, but there's a mythology that we're all kind of familiar with that gets played with a little bit, and he gets to, you know, play with those toys in the sandbox. And it's for mature audiences. There's nudity and gore and stuff, but yeah, it's so artfully done. The quality of the work is just breathtaking.
All right, I like that. All right, the next one is, what comic character would you trust to watch your house while you were gone?
Ooh, what comic character would I trust to watch my house? I want to say right away Squirrel Girl, only based on the vibes, but I don't actually trust her. And the squirrels. mostly the right. squirrels.
The squirrels, all the squirrels in my house. I wouldn't like that.
I think for me, the adults in the room have always been Luke Cage and Jessica Jones. Like, whenever they're in, like, the Mighty Avengers or whatever, like, they're like, hey, guys, yeah. Reality check. That's not how any of this works, you know? like, even if they had Danielle, their daughter, over, I'm sure they would, you know, make sure that she doesn't go in like, the collectibles, breakables area and just stay wherever they need to. I could trust them to house it because they're actual real adults and not just, you know, man children.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. What comic villain do you secretly agree with?
Ooh, Magneto. Like, easily. Like without even missing a beat, Magneto.
100%.
And more and more every day.
I haven't had a time to think
about it. Yeah, more and more every day. Right? I'm just like, you know what? Like, Magneto. Not only do I get where he's coming from, but Charles is wrong. Charles is 100% wrong. Magneto is the most moral position, the logical position. Like, it's based in truth. You know, that's why it's so compelling, is because he's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That is one of the greatest, you know, philosophical, you know, arch enemies, right? But I 100% agree.
And I think they've even made it so where he's less of the X-Men's arch nemesis in the comics now. I haven't caught up fully, but from what I understand, he's kind of ousted as like their ideological enemy now. He seemingly has more in common with all of mutant kind than they would have, you know, made us believe with the whole, you know, face heel thing going on with him for a while.
Right. I love that. What comic world would actually be the worst place to live? To play on the other question of where you'd want to live. Now, which one's the worst one you'd want to live or not want to live?
I mean, the Boys universe is just like our universe, but like worse. Somehow. Oh, I mean, right. No. Somehow. No, thank you. Yeah.
Amen to that. I like that. Yeah,
like art imitating reality, and then it's just, you're just staring into a mirror that's just like, hey, this is everything wrong with the world. Like, cool. Thanks, man. Thanks for reminding me.
Thanks. Yeah. Right. I didn't need this today. I love this question. So the last time you were on the show, I asked, if your life were a comic book, what would the title be? So your answer the last time was The Misadventures of CL Zeno. Would that change? This was on October 15th when I released the episode. So about 6 months has passed.
It would probably be, the new chapter would be Learning to Love Again, would be the, and it's, in parentheses, Learning to Love Myself Again. That's been,
I love that.
The love, that Beverly gives me every day inspires me to love myself even more. And, in a way that, you know, isn't conceited and isn't, you know, like toxic in any way where I'm like delusional about how great I am or anything, but like just genuinely giving myself love. It's hard to do, I think, for a lot of men, right? Like just addressing mental health in general. And, sure. You know, like I think it takes, you know, a person loving us and like disarming our facade of strength to like break down those walls sometimes and like let ourselves see the vulnerable center at the hard center of the Tootsie Pop and see us for who we really are. And that's been an amazing journey getting ready for the wedding and going through all the emotions surrounding that. It's been so lovely.
You know, is going back, looking at the episode and then, you know, some of the episodes around that time, you know, we were for whatever reason in October, I was really heavy into mental health stuff. Right. And we had a long conversation on the podcast about, you know, men, health, how it don't go together usually. But it's like how it's almost come full circle. I kind of got away. I'm not purposely stop talking about it, but it just hasn't been a topic of discussion the last couple months. But to bring it back, especially in the spot that I'm in now, right, where I got laid off, you know, last week, and I've had to do a lot of, you know,
soul searching,
you know, I just spent the last 10 years of my life dedicating way too much time and energy into this company after hours before, you know, and for what, 10 years later, just to be like, see ya.
Yeah. Like logically, men tend to not lean into their emotions and tend to, and this is again, a broad generalization, but, you know, tend to think about things a little bit more, you know, logically, but like also like, why would you treat your emotional and mental well-being any differently than your stock portfolio? You can't have all of your eggs in one basket. You can't just be a workaholic. And then once that goes away, then that was your crutch that just knocks everything down. Like, you know, you have to find fulfillment in it, different areas of your life. And so like we were talking about this at work the other day, where my read into Monsters, Inc. is that Sully was like depressed. And they're like, whoa, where did that come from? I didn't get any of that subtext. And I'm like, well, guys, he's excelling at work. He's number one on the scream floor, on the scare floor. You know, he has it all, seemingly. Like, Mike is his only friend, and he's constantly complaining about Mike. And he doesn't really get to become a better version of himself until, you know, the child comes into his life. Boo. It teaches him what life's really about. It was never about work, you know, like he's doing his best. Like, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with him. And like, you know, I think some of the miscommunication between like my coworkers, like who are all men on my shift, and me, is that like, I'm just saying that, you know, depression doesn't mean that Sully did anything wrong. It's not his fault that he, you know, feels this way.
Right.
But it was still true. And like, you know, having one of those changes that comes into your life, you know, a person that comes into your life and changes it for the better can be, you know, an intensely emotional and rewarding experience that you never even know you needed. You know, like, it's just, that's just how life is. It's funny sometimes. Yeah. If you haven't, audience, if you haven't watched Monsters, Inc. recently, tell me if I'm completely off base. But that's what I got.
You're not. But that is something that I've played a lot with the last few days, is just, especially over the weekend, just contemplating next steps, what I'm going to do. I mean, obviously I'm going to continue the podcast. Yeah. My daughter and I are having way too much fun doing this, and I enjoy talking to people just like you on a weekly basis. If anything, I'm going to do more of this, right? But I also have to pay the bills too. So I got to figure out what I'm going to do on the other side of that. But I am going to take a few days to just not do anything.
Yeah, yeah, it's important.
You know, I'll still do this, but like, I'm going to take a few days to just not rush into the next thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'll be okay for a while.
I'm taking June. We're getting married. I'm taking July off from any comic work. I'm not doing anything. August, we're going on our honeymoon. And so even though Drunk Mom 3 will get printed around September, and like, we'll roll into Drunk Mom 4. I mean, I'm not really putting pressure on myself to really get any pages done, you know, by any real deadline besides, you know, August, September, just to kind of focus on the wedding and on the honeymoon and be present for that.
Where are you going on the honeymoon?
Beverly and I were both in the Navy. That's where we met. And we both have gone to Rome and Naples before, and we've been dying to go back to Italy. We're going to Venice and Lake Como and Pisa.
Yeah.
It's just Milan, like, just a dream come true trip up there.
Very
romantic. Yeah.
Good for you. I've never been to Italy. I went to Germany for a week, and that was amazing. Got to spend a whole week in Germany, and because that's where my dad's from. So I got to do a lot of stuff, see the places he grew up and stuff. It was really cool. But I'll go to Italy eventually. I don't know when. Now's the time. No, not
no.
Hopefully, you already bought your plane.
Hopefully,
tickets.
It's cooled down a little bit by the week in August we're going. It's going to be hot, but hopefully not like peak heat. We'll see.
Yeah, 'cause they don't do ice over there.
No. No. They did just have the Olympics kind of up whenever we were going, in like the Alps and things like that. But
heck yeah. Well, that's awesome, man. Is there anything else we want to talk about before you head out?
So Jason will still be rolling with Enchanted Circus. The Enchanted Circus 3 pre-launch is up. It's got like 25 followers.
Okay.
I can send you the link.
Do that. And I'll add it to the show notes.
It's going
to
be the finale of the Enchanted Circus arc that we have written. We're planning on like, you know, some like an ongoing series after issue 3, but this was, at the time we wrote it, this was the comic, was the issues 1 through 3. So we're trying to make it larger than life in terms of the story, and then hopefully you know, new readers come on and grab all three issues, and hopefully we do gangbusters there. But yeah, we're really excited about it. The ending is larger than life. It's kind of, I think Peter Pan is really the tonal inspiration for the finale, which is like a weird one to pull from, because that finale is kind of weird, but I also love it. Like, it just, I hope that I can land even half of the emotionality of that finale from the movie, in the comic. So that's what we're going for.
Heck yeah. So we got Drunk Mom live now, Enchanted Circus pre-launch page. Go check those out. Go donate to his wedding and honeymoon fund.
I do have that. I can also send you that link as well if you want on Honey Fund.
A honeymoon fund. I know those are a lot of fun. I haven't been to a wedding in a while, but the last one I went to, my nephews, was they had like a, they're like, don't get us any gifts. We have a house and toasters. We need money to go on our own. They went to Japan for the honeymoon.
Yeah, so we went to Japan.
Again, he was in the Navy and stationed over there for a little bit.
Yeah, we went last year, and it was breathtaking. Like, we went to Tokyo, Kyoto, Osaka. Like, I would just say don't skip over Kyoto, even if it doesn't look like a modern city. There's the same number of people there. It's like a million plus people in the city, and it's unlike anything that you really see anywhere else in Japan, because it was basically the cultural center of Japan for centuries. So, I wish we had spent more time in Kyoto, if anybody is thinking about going.
That's on my list too, one day. I got to get to Hawaii, and then maybe I can go to Japan from there. Because as of August this year, when I go to Connecticut, weirdly enough, I've been to 46 states, but I've never been to Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. I've been to Maine and New Hampshire, and we always went through New Hampshire and Vermont when I lived in New York. We never went through the other three little states. So when I go to Connecticut for Terrificon, I'm going to hit those other two states in a, you know, one day. So I'll be at 49 states in August, you know, in my life. Crazy. So I got to hit Hawaii eventually.
I probably hit half of them, but 49 is going to be a feat. So I'm excited.
I did Alaska last year, last September. And so that was a big one to knock off the list. Hit those three in August, and somehow I got to get to Hawaii. Can't drive there. That's the problem.
Fair enough.
I don't mind flying. I love flying, just not for 12
Maybe
hours.
Maybe you can take a cruise out of
I've
LA
looked
or
at
something.
Those, actually. They have like 2-week cruises out of LA that go to Hawaii.
That'd be nice.
Now's the time. I don't have a job, so now's the time to book that. I'm going to write that down. Well, dude, thanks so much for coming. This has been a lot of fun. We'll love to have you back again sometime, maybe when your next one launches. Absolutely. I have a really cool thing. Since you booked this one, I started adding another link where people can join our Thursday show, where they come on with me and my daughter. It's like for people that I've already met. I don't let new people really come on that, just because I don't, with my daughter. But people that I know and like, and, you know, the people I like, I'll let it come on the show, the Thursday show. So next time you've got something, and I only need like a week or so notice usually too. So, versus, you know, I'm booked till mid-August now on this show. So, so when you get something else or something pops up, just shoot me a message. I'll get you on again. And then you get to play little game, you know, little this or that games with my daughter. That would
be fun.
She loves doing those. But man, thanks so much for coming, and good luck on everything, and good luck with the wedding. If I don't see you beforehand, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And we'll see you next time.
We don't just talk about comics. We made one.
And it's called The Chronicles of Pam and Pete.
At Talking Comics, we interview creators, show off our comic calls,
play fun games, and show what we're learning firsthand.
Get a free preview of The Chronicles of Pam and Pete by subscribing to our Substack.
Watch the trailer and all the video episodes on YouTube.
Or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow along, like, subscribe.
Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in.